I like that hymn, don't you? However, all of God's people go through the fire. All of God's people go through the flood. All of God's people go through great sorrow, and all of God's people are under the blood. Not just some, all. He must, through much tribulation, trouble, go through this world, but be of good cheer. One time I entitled this, Waiting on Something Good to Come Out of All This Trouble. And I've shortened it this time to just wait, and you'll see. Verses 13 and 14, David said, I had fainted, I would have quit, I didn't think I could make it. I didn't think that I could endure this deep trial and trouble unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And he said, all things work together for good. And I don't see, and he went through some things, he may have thought, how can any good come out of this? But he tells us in the end, wait. Just wait. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, and you'll see. You'll see. We're all going to see clearly someday how it all was good. Every bit of it. That the thing we thought was the worst thing that could possibly happen was good. Just wait. You'll see. Go ahead and laugh. Because it's true. Job 14 says, man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Trouble-filled days. Brother Scott Richardson said, we have three kind of troubles. We're either coming out of trouble, in trouble, or heading back into trouble. That's so, isn't it? It's just so. David was a man after God's own heart. God loved David dearly. And whoever God loves, he puts him through trouble. It's God's goodness. You know that? Trials, afflictions, troubles here on this earth are God's. It's God's love. It's God's mercy. It's God's grace. To make us want out. Make us call upon him. It's good. It really is. David, his life was filled with troubles. If you just glance at the scriptures over in Psalm 25, says the troubles of my heart are enlarged. And here in verse 5, he says, in a time of trouble, he shall hear me. Over in Psalm 30, he says, you hid your face and I was troubled. Psalm 31, have mercy on me. I'm in trouble. Everywhere you turn, David is writing about, I'm in trouble. Man, we're in trouble. We've got troubles. David had troubles of heart, troubles of mind, troubles in his body, troubles of soul, troubles without, troubles within, troubles at home, troubles in the world. He had troubles with his enemies. He had troubles with his friends. He had troubles at home, in his marriage. You know, Paul said about marriage, he says, good. You know, a man obtains favor of the Lord if he gets a good wife, a woman that knows the Lord, and vice versa. A woman gets a man that knows the Lord, and it's a blessing. But Paul said, you're still going to have trouble. And you got two sinners living together, and one's a male and one's a female. You're going to have some trouble. But that trouble is compounded if one of them doesn't know the Lord. And I've often thought, and the Lord gave me a wife who loves the Lord and loves me. And you know, we worship together. There's nothing we'd rather do, is there? And on the way home, we're talking about the message. When we get home, we sit at the table and we talk about the message. Wake up in the morning, she's reading, I'm reading, we talk about it. And what a blessing that is. But I can't imagine being married to someone, Christ is my all, And to them, he's nothing at all. I can't imagine that. It's got to be one of the hardest trials of all. And you're rejoicing in the Lord, and you worship the Lord, and you go home, and they tear it all down. David was married to such a person as that. Micah, Saul's daughter, she mocked his religion. What did the Lord do to her? David had trouble with his children. He had all kinds of trouble. Absalom, my son, Absalom, Absalom, Absalom. Would God I died for thee. Didn't it? You know that most of the leading men in scriptures had unconverted, unsaved children? You know that? Aaron. But two of his sons, God killed them both. Samuel, both of his sons. Eli, both of his sons. What did they say? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. David, several sons. Jacob, he didn't have much good to say about any of his sons, did he? When he blessed them all, not much good at all. A couple of them gave him Benjamin and Joseph, you know. David had trouble in his house, in his home, in his family, with his children. Oh, those are deep troubles, aren't they? I can't imagine having a wayward child. I'm so thankful the Lord has not put us through that. Tough trial. What I did to my parents, I can't imagine my son or daughter doing that to me. Troubles. David had troubles with lusts, sin, temptation. The world doesn't have trouble with these things. Only God's people have trouble with sin. The world loves sin. God's people is troublesome to them. They're vexed by it. They're vexed by the sin within. They're vexed by the sin without. They're like Lot in Sodom. They want out. And yet we linger. So man is born of woman is full of trouble. David was full of troubles. And that's why he said, through all his troubles, he said, I would have fainted. I would have fallen. I would have quit a long time ago. I didn't think I could get through what I went through unless I'd believe to see the goodness of the Lord in all this. And I had to wait, he said. I had to wait. And in waiting and trusting the Lord, he showed me. He showed me. So he says, you wait, and he'll strengthen your heart. You just wait now, and you'll see. It's all good. This psalm, the whole psalm, is a song. It's a song, isn't it? Huh? Can you sing while you're in sad? We need to. It's a help in time of trouble. Can you sing when you're mad? We need to calm that old beast within them. This is a psalm that David wrote in a time of trouble, fear, time of fear. Look at it, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light, my salvation. I see clearly, and I only see clearly it through my Lord, through His Word. I understand only through Him and His Word. He's my salvation. I see clearly. I know now who is my salvation. It's not things. It's not people. It's the Lord. It always has been. Oh, we just looked at that, didn't we? After Goliath, and David was afraid, but he trusted in the Lord. He faced a foe. And after it's all over, you think he trusted him more? Do you think he trusted him fully? At that time, he thought, of whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Our Lord said this, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. How's that? Looking to Him and Him only. You have no strength in yourself, and there's no strength in anyone else. Don't lean on the arm of the flesh. Don't look or call on anyone else. Call on the Lord. He's the only strength you have. That's fact. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, he said, when the wicked, mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Brothers and sisters, we have been assaulted. Some of you 60, 70, 80 years old. You've been assaulted all your life, haven't you? Here you are. Here you sit, trusting, resting, looking to the Lord. The adversary has tried to keep you all these years, keep you from hearing the gospel, keep you from trusting Christ, keep you from Him, draw you away, and here you sit. After all these years that came upon you. So you keep trusting it. No war should rise against me. David, Paul said, there's a war in my members. Of this I will be confident. What? My God is God. My God reigneth. The Lord is Lord. He's my light. He's my salvation. He's my strength. He's my protector. He's my provider. I'll slay this giant called unbelief. Listen to this. Listen to David. All through the psalm. If you just turn anywhere, you'd read things like this. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my foundation, my defense. Just turn anywhere and you'll read that. We trust Him. We trust in Him. This is our confidence. We have no confidence in the flesh, any flesh. We have no confidence in man. Any man. Our confidence is in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust Him. We trust His wisdom. Everything He's doing is right. And He's doing it. Everything that's being done, the Lord did it. He's doing it. Now we trust His wisdom. We trust His love. He loves His people far too much to ever do anything to really hurt them. It's all good. Would you hurt somebody you love? You can't do it. It's not possible for the Lord. He loves too much. His mercy is too great. His power. We trust His power. We trust His word, don't we? Huh? So come what may. This is our confidence, like Eli. Come what may. Though the tidings were waiting, everybody's waiting on news. It's tough to wait, isn't it? Every one of us have waited for news of some sort. Waited a sick loved one. Waiting for news, good news or bad news. Come what may, here's your hope. Here's your confidence. Say with Eli, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. He is our strength. You see? Here's the believer's desire. Here's the saint's desire. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. That's the one thing I desire, David said. I want to be in that Lord's house with God's people. I want to worship the Lord. I've seen His beauty. I've seen His glory. I've seen my need of Him. I've seen His salvation. I've heard His blessed word. I just want to be in His house. Lord, I want to, this is my desire. Do you think He'd turn away? Do you think He'd cast out anybody who wanted to be in His hand? I've told you so many times this story. I love it because I loved old Abner, my dog, you know. He was an outside dog. That's where dogs are supposed to be. Anyway, he was outside all the time. And every now and then it was really cold, you know. And he always wanted in the house. You know, and every now and then, I couldn't turn him away. Finally, I said, oh, come on in, Abner. And he'd just crawl in, and he'd lie down at my feet, like, you know, just like right here. Won't cause any trouble. I'm just so glad to be here. I never said, get out of here, you old dirty dog. Never. Lord, this is all I ask for. This is all I desire. Okay? And David's talking about two houses here. You see it? He's talking about the house of the Lord not made with hands in the heavens. Our heavenly home. God's kingdom. God's house. He said, I go to prepare a place for thee. If I go to prepare a place for thee, I'll come receive you unto myself. You mean I can come? Yes. You want to be there with me? Yes. He's not going to turn away. One. Person who desires to be in His kingdom with Him and with His people. Not one. But you don't know me. He does. He'll never say, you dirty dog. You can't come in here. That's the only kind he lets in. And David's talking about God's house that we're in right now. This is the house of the Lord. This is where God's people meet. This is where we want to be in. You see, if this is where you want to be, this is what you want to do, this is who you want to be with, and this is who you want to hear and who you want to worship, rejoice. He's not going to kick you out. Not going to kick you out. The reason you're here, the reason you desire to be here, because he said, let's go to the house of the Lord. He drew you, cords of love. He gathered you together to his people. That's the reason you want to be here. That's the only reason. If you come, he'll keep you. He'll not cast you out. One thing if I desire. He says he'll hide me, verse 5. Here's a believer's refuge, a saint's refuge. Verse 5, in a time of trouble, you hide me in his pavilion. It says the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He set me up on a rock. You know, this is a graduation is what this is. This goes low and gets high is what this means. Pavilion is not a great grand place. That's not what that means. To hide me. You can't hide in a pavilion. The pavilion actually means like an ark of bulrushes, a little basket. That's what that means. Talks about going from being in a basket to a tabernacle to finally being on the mountain. And Moses is a good type of this, he said. Moses' parents, it talks about in Hebrews 11. Pharaoh was killing everybody. Pharaoh was killing all the children. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Margaret, if our governor was out to kill all children? Kill your daughter's children. And so Moses' mother and father took that precious child of theirs that God gave them and put him in a pavilion, put him in a basket, a little ark covered with bulrushes. And they thought, why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to us? Can anything good come out of this? Oh, Lord, take my baby boy. Save him. Oh, mother, he's going to save Israel by this boy. You just wait. You'll see. Can anything good come out of this? She cast all her care on the Lord and the baby in a basket. You know, we're all a basket case. You know, that's right. That's how we start out. We're all in the hand. And our mothers and our fathers, if they're believers, cast all their care upon the Lord. Please, take care of him. Cast all your care on the Lord. He's the one to carry him. And you wait. You'll see. All right, then Moses went from being in a basket to a grown man, 40 years old. Finally, he's 80 years old, and he's walking with the people of Israel. They've come out of Egypt. They've come through the Red Sea, water coming out of the rock, bread raining from the sky, the tabernacle. There's a tabernacle. And Moses thought, this is as good as it gets. Yes, we're wandering. Yes, we're got beset behind and before by all these enemies. But he said he loved God's tabernacle. He went in that tabernacle. Oh, it was a Shekinah glory of God. He took him from a basket, a pavilion, to a tabernacle. And then when it was all over, his life was over. Was Moses disappointed that he couldn't go in the promised land? The Lord took Moses up on a mountain, a rock, precipice, peak. He said, you see that? That's my people. That's the land I told you about. Was Moses disappointed he couldn't go in that land? Oh, God's taking him higher than that. Mount Pisgah's lofty heights. He viewed that sight. And our Lord has set our feet on a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we see clearly. We're hidden in him. We're in his secret of his tabernacle. And he set us up on a rock. And if you look, you'll see. Oh, the end is wonderful. It gets higher. And then verse 6, here's the believer's song. He says, my head will be lifted up above mine enemies. Who? Your head? Who's that? That's Christ. My head. He crushed the serpent's head. Isn't it? Above mine enemies, round about me. Therefore, now David's been in trouble. David's been in deep sorrows. You just keep reading. David said, I watered my bed with my tears. He said, he wouldn't be comforted one time in the death of his, or the sickness of a child. And it just, he'd been through deep troubles, as all of God's people do. Sleepless nights. He couldn't sleep. And you know, David thought, like we think sometimes when we go through these troubles and sorrows, we think, I'll never sing again. I'll never be happy again. I'll never laugh again. Don't you? We were with Brother Bruce right after one of the saddest times of his life. I preached the gospel to him. Don't you love his grin? He's grinning from ear to ear. David said, I'm going to go into his tabernacle and offer sacrifices of joy. You see, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I will sing. I'm going to sing. Oh, I'll never sing again. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. David thought that. He said, I'm cast down, Lord. I'm cast down. Oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? He said, hope in the Lord. He said, I'll yet praise him. He's the health of my kingdom. Psalm 30. Turn there. Psalm 30. This is good. You don't have to go far to see this. Look at this. Psalm 30. I believe he wrote this. I'm not sure. But David was smitten in battle, and they thought he was dead. He fought another giant. One of Goliath's brothers came out and slew him. Thought he'd killed David. And David was lying there, wounded. And who was it? One of the men picked David up and succored him and nursed his wounds and all that. And it says in Psalm 30, verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive. I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, ye saints. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. His anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Verse 8, I cried unto the Lord, made my supplication. Verse 10, hear me, O Lord, have mercy upon me, be my helper. Verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. It put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. He'd go from weeping all night, and then the next night he'd be singing in the night. He giveth me songs in the night. Isn't it so? Isn't it so? The Lord's good. The Lord's good. Wait, you'll see. Saint's song. And here's his prayer. Here's the prayer of all the saints in our text. It says, hear me, O Lord. Verse 7, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me. Answer me. Will the Lord have mercy upon those who ask for it? He cannot turn away. Cannot. He will not. He takes pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, thy face, will, Lord, will I seek. Will the Lord turn away anyone that seeks him? He said, seek ye the Lord, didn't it? He said, seek ye the Lord. Seek, and you'll find. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Knock, and it shall be opened. Didn't he? He cannot lie. Seek. Lord, you said seek, and I'm seeking. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me. The Lord ought to. And he does sometimes. I need to preach on that. Psalm Isaiah 45, I believe it is. Thou art a God that hidest thyself. Psalm 55. And the Lord, you know, is displeased and angry. I remember when I knew that my father was angry at me. Didn't we, brother? We knew. And he wouldn't look at me. I knew I'd, and he would hide his face from me. Ooh. It grieved me. And the Lord does it. But he says, oh, don't put away your servant in anger. You've been my help. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. With the Lord, he can't. Sister, he cannot. He will. He's better than us. He loves more than we love our own. He cannot. He will not forsake anyone that calls on him. Not one. He has never let down one single person. He's never disappointed one single person that depended on him, that called on him. Not one. You just wait, you'll see. Oh, you're the God of my salvation. When my mother and my father, he said, father and mother, forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He gathers himself. He remembers the Lord's covenant concerning him. Sure mercies of David. You know why the Lord won't forsake his people? You know why he won't forsake anybody that comes to him by Christ? Because he forsook Christ. Because he sent his son to die for his people. And Christ bore all the wrath and judgment of God's people against us. And God is not angry with his people. He is not. Christ died. In verse 11, he says, teach me that. Teach me thy way. Oh, Lord, lead me. Lead me in a plain path. Oh, my. You not think the Lord will lead us all the days of our life? Didn't David write that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Our Lord said, pray this. Lead me not into temptation. Does he lead us? He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort from, wherever I be, whatever I do, still is my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. Sing. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. That'll help you. He's always leading. He'll never quit leading people. He's the good shepherd, faithful shepherd. He leads his people. Those that want to be led, those that need to be led, those that are sheep and know it, they need led. Because of our enemies, and there are many. So he says, verse 12, don't deliver me with the will of mine enemies. Please, Lord. Don't let me have my will. Don't let man have his will. Will he? No, he won't. He will do his will. He doeth his will in the armies of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. And this is the will of him that sent Christ. This is it. Christ said it twice. This is the will of him that sent me. That everyone that seeth the Son, sees his glory, seeth their need of him, that sees he's their only hope. Every single one that seeth the Son and believeth on him and trusteth him shall have eternal life. And he said, I will. I will. This is the Father's will. And he said, it's my will. I will raise them up at the last day. I will not forsake them. I will not cast them out. I will not leave them. I'll take them up to glory. Every single one of them. Smile. You just wait. You'll see. He's coming for his own. So David in closing says it. I would have fainted. I couldn't have made it through my troubles unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. I couldn't have made it through all this. I remember a dear brother going through some of these troubles. His brother finally lost his wife, and he saw two sons put in prison. And I remember him saying at the time, I don't think I can get through this. He did. The Lord brought him through. He laughed. He sang again, didn't he? And now he's in glory. And boy, is he singing now. He saw. So David tells us, wait. Just wait. Wait on the Lord. It is the Lord. Whatever it is, it's the Lord. Whatever comes, it's the Lord. Be of good courage. Take all your courage, all your strength. Strengthen thine heart in the Lord. Okay? Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. That's what David did when they'd come down and taken his wives and children, and they wept till they had no more tears to weep. And David encouraged himself in his God. Don't get it all back. He said, wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, there's so many examples in the scriptures I could give you, so many stories, like the story of Joseph. Oh, you know, a godly man who loved, the Lord loved him, and his father loved him, and his brethren hated him. And you know what? You know the story. They hated him, and they were jealous of him, and they one time they wanted to slay him, but the Lord wouldn't allow that. And so they sold their brother into slavery, okay? And he goes, he leaves his home, his family, his father, and all this, and he's in slavery in Egypt. How can anything good come out of this? And finally, and he was lied on by his employer's wife, you know, he was falsely accused of something he didn't do, and they put him in prison, 2 years. 2 years in prison. Wasn't one of these country clubs. In prison. Don't you know, how can anything good come out of this? All right? They brought him out of prison, okay? Finally, in the end, you just wait. And finally, in the end, he's sitting on the throne. And his brothers come, you know the whole story. And the end of that story, Joseph said, now you meant it for evil. Every one of you, everybody meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. I had to wait. But now I see clearly. It was all good to save much people alive. Then a woman, her and her husband left the people of God. They left the house of God. They left where the worship of God was. Her and her husband. They left where God's people were for a better situation. And they did. They found it. They went where God's people were not, where there was no truth, no gospel. And they went there. Well, they did just fine. They had a home. They had two sons. Had it all. Had all the world could offer them. And this woman's husband died. Now she's a widow. Well, she has her boys to fall back on. Two sons, you know. They get married. These two sons. Both of them died. Now she has no one to fall back on. Nothing to fall back on. She loses her inheritance. She loses her home. She loses everything. Everyone. So she decides, I need to go back where God's people are. I need to go back where the truth is, where my people are. I need to go back there. I hear that my people are eating and I'm starving and I'm poor and I'm down and out and I have nothing. I have nobody, no one to fall back on. I'm going back where God's people are. And one of her daughters-in-law, you know the story. One of her daughters-in-law, name was Ruth. The woman's name was Naomi, said, I'm going with you. Oh, she said, honey, you stay here with your people, your mother, your father, and your kinfolk and all that. And where they go to church, no, I can't. I don't want that. I'm going to go with you. But where God's people are, God's house. So they did. And here they come. Now, how can anything good come out of all this? Don't you know they're thinking that? Look what we've done. Look what we left. Look what we've put ourselves through. Look at what we've lost. How can we get We'll never be happy again. Don't call me Naomi, she said. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. No, Naomi, the Lord hath dealt well with me. You'd still be there if the Lord hadn't done all this. And the Lord's bringing you back home, Naomi. And he's bringing somebody with you. And that's part of the reason he sent you there, is to bring her back with you. All right? Wait. You'll see. Years later, Ruth is an old woman. Ruth is a grandmother. Ruth is a great-grandmother. And she's sitting there with a baby on her lap. And that baby boy's name is David. And she's laughing. She said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Now she said, I see it. I see it. The Lord's purpose in all this is that I might see the Son, the King. And I remind you, old Boaz, you know, his mother was a harlot. My. How can any good come out of that? Oh my, listen to this. Let me close with reading this to you. And this is, you see, the patience of the saints. This is the patience. Patiently waiting, patiently hoping in the Lord. And this is what John said. John, who was on an island, exiled, cut off from everything by himself on an island. How can anything good come out of this? Well, here it is. And John said, I am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. And in Revelation 13, 15, all through here, it talks about the patience of the saints. The patience of the saints. Talks about everybody against them. But he said, now this is the patience. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That it is the Lord. That whatever it is the Lord. And the Lord is good to all them that wait for him. You just wait and you'll see. And you're going to sing. When this is all over and we're in glory, after 30 minutes of silence, we're going to erupt and never quit singing again. You know what? Never. No more tears, Margaret. Ever again. Laughter. Nothing but laughter. Won't that be good? Wait. You'll see. Okay.